Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, when you hear that music, you know what that means. Time to talk baseball.
John Fogerty?
Well, it could mean that, but you associate that with baseball. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarlane, Chase McCabe alongside Willie D is in Calgary. Preds and Flames tomorrow night. We head over to Weston. Their awesome baseball coach, Tim Corbin, is on the line. Tim, how you doing?
Good, D. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Wasn't quiet yesterday, I can say that. I guess let's just start with what took place after our show, even though these rumors have been out there for a while. But what did you make of your Red Sox shipping out two Nashvillians to L.A. and now with the Dodgers?
Well, I just felt like that was going to happen because you heard so much talk about it. And, you know, it's great for Mookie and David because they're so close and obviously two Nashvillians, and now they'll be going to a place where we have another Vanderbilt guy and Walker Buehler. So I think it creates a nice dynamic for the Dodgers in terms of that clubhouse. You're getting two quality people that are very good players too. I'm looking forward to watching David in the National League. Now he's been in the American League for some time, and not because he can hit, because he'll tell you he can, but he can't. He told me last night he's got a two-game hitting streak, and I said, "Congratulations, Lou Gehrig." But he'll have a good time in that league, I think, pitching wise. And Mookie, you don't have to say too much about him. He's a very good player.
Yeah, and now they're the favorite in baseball, so it's going to be up to them to finish things off. In fact, if we could add, you brought up Walker Buehler, so you've got David Price and Walker Buehler as the connection to you and Vanderbilt in this market. You brought up Mookie Betts, of course, Nashville. And there's one more. Matt Beatty is currently on that team.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So we got four connections.
That's true. Matt was one of Dave's best hitters over there at Belmont and certainly did a lot of damage against us. So you're right. That's it's nice to see that. It just keeps dignifying the fact that Tennessee is a very good baseball state, and more you look at it, more and more you look at the rosters in our conference, and then the four guys you just mentioned, it kind of speaks to it.
Yeah, but you figured that out a long time ago, so good on you. You knew that. Yeah. You knew that well before us, that this was a pretty good place to find talent. Yeah. You had your baseball banquet. You do every year at the beautiful downtown Omni on Saturday night, this past weekend.
Right.
New AD Malcolm Turner a year ago was there. He was not there yesterday or on Saturday. Obviously, you had to have known. So, I mean, when did you know all this was going down with your athletics director?
Not really until, I guess, Sunday and Monday when you heard more specific conversations about what would happen and potentially would happen. And you know, you never know the background to anything, and not that I need to know that. You know, I need to stay in our lane. But same time, it's just tough to hear that right away. We'll manage and we'll transition. Certainly Candace is qualified and a really, really good person. I've always enjoyed Candace, been with her for 18 years. So she's got a lot to her, and it will be good to have her in that position, and she'll create some harmony, and is a hard worker. But at the same time, you know, I enjoyed Malcolm too. I mean, Malcolm and Jess were, you know, we went to dinner with him several times and enjoyed it. He was good to our baseball program. So, you know, it's always tough to see that, but, you know, life moves on.
It does. And, you know, you're in just a short amount of time. And I know she's, of course, we all remember her playing days, and she's been around, but now that she's been kind of pushed to the forefront, now it gets asked, what do you know? And the people that we've had Jordan Rogers on yesterday, you. I mean, this, everybody we've talked to, they say the same thing about her. So you know her better than us. The people we've talked to know her better than us. Why does it seem like everybody's got the same message of just how impressed they are with her and just, I guess, the way she carries herself and what she's like?
Well, it speaks to human consistency. I think if a lot of people talk about a person in a similar fashion, it's because they have a consistent way about her, and that's Candace. I mean, to a T, she's made from the right fibers. You know, that's when, you know, the university has statements and you talk about it's a trailblazing situation and so on, which is true. But, you know, it's beyond that. Let's just look at Candace for who she is. She's a human. She's a qualified human. She cares about other people. She operates with consistency, discipline, and empathy and intelligence. And, you know, when you're around people like that, it's significant because even in quality organizations, you don't always have that. But, you know, we've been together for 18 years and we're very close. And she's had to work through transitions herself. And, you know, I know she has an interim position right now, and that's fine. And that gives her an opportunity to grow. It gives the university an opportunity to evaluate. You know, there was a football coach in this country that was an interim position for a while, too. And everyone felt like he wasn't qualified enough to do what he was doing. Next thing you know, his team wins a national championship. So I think the thing about people is sometimes, like people in baseball programs, you put them in positions where they have an opportunity to grow and you empower them and you never know what can happen. So good for Candace. And, you know, through the transition of Malcolm, she gets an opportunity and she'll move forward and do things with trust.
You've done a whole lot of good over on that campus, as we all know, and everybody says the same. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about Candace or you, everybody has the same story to tell, and that's really about what you guys are about. But I want to know, there's a stigma right now, Tim, with, you know, just people that it's that there's people in charge that don't care about athletics and they're not willing to spend money and they're not willing to do the things. And you guys have been able to kind of do your own thing. And I know why, because you've rolled up your sleeves and made that happen, but also has to be concerning. That's the school that you love. It's where you coach and you don't want that out there. And there's a lot of people right now that think it's a mess because it doesn't seem like they care. How does that make you feel when you hear that?
I think when you hear things on the outside and they get to you or you listen to them, you know, I guess it matters. It does matter. Public opinion matters. It does to a certain degree, but time has a way of healing a lot of things that happen. And the reality is, and the most important thing is, I feel, you know, I'm very confident in how we operate within the university, and things do happen in the university over time, but the more you put your head down and you operate in your lane and you don't leave your lane and you do it with care and consistency yourself, then in time, those wounds will start to heal a little bit. And that's what it is. It's a wound, you know, for the university, and they have to own up to it, and they have to speak to it. And, you know, we just operate inside of it, and we've been given a great opportunity, and we'll do our best to represent the university. I'm very confident in that. And that's why, you know, for us, I'm glad the season is starting next Friday, because we can immerse ourselves and that business, which we should, and that's the only business we need to worry about. And, you know, I'm just like a parent that is just trying to take care of our family to the best of my ability and make sure that these kids that are inside of it have a great experience, and they will.
Well said, and I know we brought you on to talk about your team, so thank you for kind of enduring all that other stuff. But
no problem.
I definitely wanted to talk to you about it. But so how excited are you? You've got no stranger to big expectations. You've got a big bullseye on you guys again. How excited are you about this team?
I'm excited, like I always am. I'm just excited to watch some infants learn to walk. I think, you know, when you have inexperience within your group, it's always exciting to watch kids stand up for the first time and take 2, 3, 4 steps in different environments. And that's where we are. I'm not underselling some of the older kids that we have in the program, but the majority of the kids that we have in the program are inexperienced. So they're going to be learning on the run. I'm sure that some will look at them and say they're supposed to do this and that, but again, they're young. And our emphasis is just trying to get them at a point, D, where by the end of April and May, that you're moving in the trajectory that you want your team to be moving in. And as good as that team was last year in 19, and these are things I've thought about, I guess, when I'm by myself, is right now at this point, I was very unsure about who was going to play shortstop, who was going to play second base, who was going to play third base. We didn't have any answers. I went back in my notes of last year at this time and was reading after training notes that I jotted down, and I had so many question marks in my own mind about what we were going to do. And then we didn't know what we were going to do with our pitching because, you know, we didn't know Fellows could be Fellows. We didn't know Kumar could be Kumar, especially after that first weekend. And we didn't know if Hickman was, I hate to say it, but real or not. You know, you don't know whether kids are really who they are until they're thrust in positions of strength. And so I think this team, it's not the same as last year's group because it's not as old, but at the same time, it's going to be exciting to watch that growth too. And our schedule is ambitious, to say the least, so we're certainly going to be fighting very good competitors.
Yeah, I think you're familiar with your first opponent that you'll take on next Friday, Michigan, to start the season when you guys go to Arizona. I know that's going to be fun to kind of have that rematch.
It will. Yeah, we've seen a lot of them, Chase. I mean, God knows, World Series, and then we were bright enough to schedule them again for the David Williams Classic. So, and this will be the fifth time in a very short time. So that, yeah, it'll be good. We're facing a very good pitcher who we faced last year right away. Yeah, Eric and his group is certainly talented and very, very confident too. But hopefully we'll be able, the last time we played him in the fall, we didn't have a lot of pieces playing for us at that point. We're still missing a couple older kids, but same time, Austin Martin will be playing, and we'll have some pieces there that we didn't. So be good just to get out there and play in Arizona. That was a fun tournament last year, and I know I'm really excited for the kids to have that opportunity.
Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, is here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And I'm curious on this, Tim. You've now won two national titles as a coach. Have you handled going into this season any differently than you did the last time? Maybe you've learned something of, you know, how to prepare the kids that are coming back for the expectations or you know, repeating or things like that. Do you go about it any differently?
Differently than 14 or going into 15? Yeah, probably, because I did learn something. And if I didn't, shame on me. I think the thing, and this is just selfishly and personally, is learning how to say no, because oftentimes, well, it is the case when you win a national championship and team plays like that, the leader oftentimes gets thrown into situations that people would think he's an authoritarian. So let's ask him to do this. Let's ask him to do this. When really, me as a person, I'm usually the dumbest guy in the room. So being a head coach of a baseball program and getting the opportunity to speak here, speak there, do this, do that, I think what I learned in 14 was just say no. You know, you got to concentrate on your team. You got to concentrate on recruiting. And I think just getting to the base level of life again and centering yourself to where you say, okay, we won a national championship. You surely want to celebrate it, but even the celebratory phase is very, very short. We went to dinner with our group that night, and then the next day it was, you know, we were operating here at the field watching a tournament. So I can't really say that outside of the small celebrations you have, you're not really celebrating that long, but really getting back to the middle of your team and focusing on them, I think has been pretty natural for us. And I'm very straightforward with the kids when it comes to that. I said, guys, you know, there'll be times where people will want to celebrate the 19 team, and that's great. And we want to take advantage of it. But when it gets right down to it, we're writing our own little chapter again. It's just a big Vanderbilt baseball book, but this 20 chapter will be ours and only ours, and we can't repeat anything because no one on the team has ever been in this situation before, which is true because even the kids that are returning, they're 12 months older, so they're not the same. So it's just really speaking to what it is and being real about it with the kids so that they understand, yeah, you're right, let's go do this and let's be us, and that's what we're trying to do.
You brought up Kumar earlier and just the journey he went on last year as a freshman, and I know you have other young players that you're wanting to see advance, but what is it that you're looking for the most out of him as he goes into his sophomore year?
Oh, and more academic growth, continuing to learn the leadership piece for him. He's a very low maintenance kid. We've had conversations about approach to this year, approach to this year personally, and some of the things that come to an individual when you're that type of presence, when you're spoken about in certain regards. I mean, he handles things very well. He's the best reflection of his mom and dad. He really is. This is a quality kid in so many different ways. There's a lot to him, but he doesn't put anything on his body. He doesn't try to dress in a certain way. He just competes and prepares like a professional. And for that, and he'll have to, because obviously when you're that type of person, you're operating with a bullseye that is a little bit broader and bigger than most. So he just has been thrust into the preparation mode, and he handles it well, and that's all he's about. The only time he's taken from preparation are when people reach out to him, whether it's the SEC, whether it's the school, and they want to do sound bites or conversations with him. But he does them, and he does them well, but what he's thrust into is this team and how he prepares, and I love that about him.
The boys I've got are just 8, but I'm trying to get the winning mentality into them, so I think I'm going to bring them to one of your games so they understand what winning looks like. That's my goal.
That's a compliment, D.
What? It's the truth.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
It's the big-time truth,
you.
And I'm not even
kidding. I can't
kidding.
Believe 8 years old. I'm having a hard time comprehending that.
I know.
Gosh.
I know.
Tim, I wish you could see him when he comes in after a loss. I mean, it's a sight to see. He takes it with him.
I do not handle
Coach
well.
Darren takes it with him.
I do not handle
We're
losses very well.
Parent conversation, D. Come on now.
Tim, always a pleasure, and we look forward to you as always talking to you throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you both. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Tim Corbin, bye-bye. Vanderbilt's baseball coach, and I'm not kidding. I'm going to try to get him over to a game.
You should.
I do. I you know I like to study people and people that are in charge. And look, and we'll get into this on the other side. There's back to the beginning part about Vanderbilt. There's a reason why it hasn't affected Tim Corbin. Yeah. We'll talk about it on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.